Let me start by telling you a story. We are not alone. We're not just the product of accident and chance. No, a loving God made us and put us in his good world for us to enjoy. He made us to live at peace with one another, to serve and love one another. But the problem is that we spend our lives chasing after all sorts of other things rather than seeking that God. Instead of us serving him, we serve ourselves. And right there is the reason why our world is so full of pain. But there's good news in our story. There's a God who made the world, and that God has entered into the world in the name and person of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, God deals with all of that brokenness. That brokenness in our relationship with God, that brokenness in our relationship with each other. And in Jesus, God is creating a future where the effects of that brokenness are fully dealt with, fully done away with. And by facing up to that, by trusting in Jesus rather than ourselves, we become part of that future, part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And right now, all around the world, that God is gathering to himself a people who trust in Jesus, building them into a genuine community. Anyone heard that story before? If that was true, and that's what we believe here at St. Thomas's, then that is the greatest news of all. To be honest, deep down, even if you're here and you've stumbled into the building and you're going, what on earth is this guy talking about? Where I thought this was the pub. Even if that's you, deep down, you'd want this to be true. God, our maker, acting in our world to deal with all that pain, all that brokenness, giving us meaning and direction in life. So why doesn't everyone believe it? What is the reason for lack of belief? I think it's because people will say something like this. I'd love to believe that, but. And whatever follows that word but is another belief that makes belief in the first story I told impossible or feel impossible. I'd love to believe that, but. One of the reasons why people don't believe leaps out at us from the passage that was just read for us. I'm not sure whether we felt how, perhaps you did, how shocking the words of Jesus are in this section. I think verse 32 is as shocking as anything Jesus says here. Verse 32, Jesus is talking to people who've believed in him. He says, if you submit to my teaching, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is not saying, when you find your own truth, then it will set you free. Jesus is saying, if you accept my teaching as truth, then that truth and that truth alone will set you free. By making Jesus' truth, you'll be free. Now that, on the surface of it, is offensive and shocking. We're taught in our culture, by our media, by our parents, by our education, by our schools, that we all have to find truth for ourselves. In fact, the Oxford English Dictionary I saw this week has just declared post-truth to be the word of 2016. Each year they decide this is the word that has gone from being relatively new or relatively unknown to being widely used and understood in the period of a year. And they've decided just recently that word is post-truth. Here's their definition. When objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotional and personal belief. I can't think myself what events in 2016 would have prompted a spike in the use of this word. One commentator says this about politics: the truth has become so devalued that was once the gold standard of political debate is now a worthless currency. This truth doesn't matter anymore. Our post-truth world says, find and feel your own truth, and that is freedom. Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, then you're my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Couldn't be a greater contrast. And so when people hear that wonderful story, they say to themselves, I'd love to believe in that, but to put myself under someone else's truth is to throw my freedom away. That's your truth. Don't force it upon me. That truth just doesn't connect with me. That's not how I feel. To accept what Jesus says, to accept what the church says, actually makes me a slave rather than free. For so many people, perhaps you tonight, certainly our friends and family, that's how we respond to these words of Jesus. But Jesus says, knowing the truth that is in Jesus will set you free, even in a post-truth world. So 2 points we're going to see tonight from the passage. The first point is this: what looks like freedom is really slavery. And our second point, what looks like slavery is really freedom. How about we pray, and then we'll look in a bit more detail at these verses. Our Father, we do thank you that in Jesus you set us free. Help us tonight to hear his words, to make a place for his words in our lives, in our heart, our minds, to obey them, and to be free disciples in Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So look with me first then at the freedom that is in fact a dreadful slavery. Notice in verse 31 who Jesus is speaking to. We pick this up in the middle of a long, rambling debate between Jesus and different people interjecting. And we're told in verse 31, this is to the Jews who had believed him. That is, these are the people that have said, yes, I'm with you, Jesus. I'm going to fill in the welcome card. I'm going to tick. I would like to join this Jesus movement and pop it in the red box at the back. They're here, they belong. And Jesus says to them, the insiders, if you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples. Are they really believers? And that's the challenge that Jesus lays out for them. Do you really hold to my teaching? Because my disciples will hold to my teaching. That's the truth, and that truth will set them free. Well, they don't really hear the first part of the challenge. They just grab hold of Jesus' words at the end of that sentence, saying that Jesus is going to set them free. And they say, what do you mean, set us free? We're children of Abraham. You can't get more free than that. Children of the very promises of God. Overlooking the fact that most of the last 500 years they've lived as slaves as a nation. Their patriotism, their religious pedigree says to them, we are the greatest. We have made it. We are free. What do you mean you're going to set us free? We're children of Abraham. That's their cultural and religious CV. We're descendants of Abraham. Or down in verse 39, Abraham is our father. I'm not sure whether they sang Father Abraham as many sons, but that's what they're saying here. The key thing they've missed, and the key thing that's easy for us to miss, is the truth that's in verse 34. Jesus highlights it with that saying where he says, I tell you the truth, or in the old Bible, verily, verily. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And they'd missed it. Sin is saying no to the word of God and the will of God. And it's putting something else in God's place. It's saying to God, I don't trust that you're good. And I'm going to do things my own way. I'm going to define good for myself. And that's been the very character of sin since the garden. At the heart of sin is that declaration of independence from God. And everything that follows in thinking and living is just the consequence of that declaration of independence. Jesus says, no one is really free. We're all sin. We're all slaves to sin. If you've declared independence from God, if you're living like that, then you're actually a slave to sin. What does he mean by that? Well, he means that you're living with something apart from God as your supreme master. That freedom is not just the absence of someone controlling you like a puppet with strings. Cut the strings and I'm free. And cut the strings and you fall on the floor in a mess. Freedom is not the absence of external pressure. We all have a master. None of us are free, Jesus says. We never live free from external compulsion. The choice is between masters, Jesus is saying. Is sin your master or is Jesus your master? Now, your ultimate thing, the thing you live for, approval, achievement, love, relationship, work, whatever it is, if that's the thing you live for, it's your master. We heard this morning at 10 o'clock and 8 o'clock of the rich young ruler who his wealth was the thing that he lived for. And Jesus says, cut that off and follow me. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't give up that master to serve the master Jesus. So the person in your life, as you think, who looks most free in your life is still a slave to something. For them, in this passage, it's their religious system and their pedigree. They trust their ancestry, their religious practices, rather than trusting and listening to the Son of the living God. And that means they're not sons at all, they're slaves. And as Jesus says in verse 35, a slave has no permanent place in the family. They're in a precarious situation. Can be cast out in a moment. They're not the son who is secure and safe. Their failure to grasp this, their failure to really respond and hold to Jesus' teaching is a deeper spiritual diagnosis. It's like a spiritual paternity test. It's a test of who is their real father. Incredibly, Jesus says to them, well, they said, well, you've disputed that we're sons of Abraham. We're sons of God. We're sons of the Father, they say to Jesus. Jesus incredibly says to them, you're not sons of God at all. If you're slaves to sin, you're actually slaves to the devil. When we think of slaves to the devil, I think of sort of movies like Exorcism and stuff, just, you know, coming out of people's chest. This is real devil worship. This is real demonic slavery. Look at it in verse 40. You're doing the things that your own father does. We're not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. And Jesus says to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear. Unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar and the father of lies. Extraordinary. Remember, these are the people who had believed in Jesus. They ticked the box. They belonged. Yes, we're with you, Jesus. And now Jesus is saying to them, you're children of the devil. Their actions show their real spiritual paternity. If God were their father, then they would listen to Jesus. If God is your father, you would listen to Jesus and his word. To ignore Jesus, to reject Jesus, and to put Jesus under others is to reject God. They're unable to hear because they belong to another father. See, a failure to hear the word of Jesus is a sign that you don't belong to God. Jesus couldn't be clearer. This is the most accurate spiritual paternity test. What do you do when you hear the word of Jesus? What's your response tonight as you hear this word of Jesus? That's Jesus applying his spiritual paternity test. As people turn against Jesus' words, they turn away from God and enslave themselves to a sinister and deadly master. That's the first point. This is a freedom, an apparent assertion of freedom, a life of freedom that is really a slavery, a deadly slavery. But here's our second point. What looks like slavery is really freedom. That's at the heart of that phrase in verse 32. If you make truth your master, if you make Jesus your master, he doesn't enslave you. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Freedom is not the absence of external compulsion, it's having the right restrictions. Freedom is having the restrictions that fit with who you are, fit with how you were made, fit with that story that I told at the beginning. When you're playing a piece of music with other musicians, you need to stay within the restraints of the piece of music. You all need to be playing in the same key. You all need to be playing the same chord progression. You all need to be playing the same rhythm. There's a freedom to improvise within those restraints. And those restraints are the way in which God has made us. And within those restraints, we can express joy. The same way as when you see a band that is working together, within those restraints, with such apparent joy and freedom, that's the life that God has made us for. That's the expression, freedom within his restraints. I think I said at the RPG nights a little while ago, true freedom only comes when we live within the right limits. A fish lying on the grass is not free, but it's been released from the restriction of the fish tank. A train is free only while it remains on the tracks. A train in the paddock is not free. By following Jesus, we're living our lives under these right restrictions. We've been set free from those false masters and now are under the master who loves us and the master who came and served us in the greatest possible way. And so Jesus says that is the freedom, that is the freedom of sonship. Being brought into the family of God, safe and secure. The slave has no permanent place in the family, verse 35, but a son belongs to it forever. If you're a child of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to that family and you have security and safety. That's the freedom for which we were made. Not slaves, but sons of God. And so it looks like submission. It looks like subservience to another set of beliefs. But in fact, it's the greatest joy and freedom. the paternity test. Do you hold to Jesus' teaching? Do you make room for his word? The thing is, we only really know that when Jesus says something that we disagree with. It's no great obedience, no great challenge to follow Jesus when he tells me to do what I already want to do. And one of the great lies of our age is the lie that takes Jesus and chops off all the bits of his teaching that don't fit with what I already think. What is the Jesus you've created? It's the bigger version of yourself. A Jesus who can never call you to repentance. A Jesus who can never say no, but always says yes. In our post-truth world, the father of lies is having a field day. And he's having a field day in churches. The point of submission, discipleship, is to do what Jesus tells you to do, even when he disagrees with you. When you disagree with him. You can think now for a moment if you like, what are those points for you? What are those choice points where Jesus is telling you in his word to do something that you find uncomfortable? Very easy to think of some that are common. Generosity. Living for heaven rather than creating heaven around me on earth. Those points are each going to be different for us. But in that moment, will you make the choice of Abraham? What did Abraham do? He trusted the word of God. Even when his eyes told him something different. Even when his heart said, this is crazy. He trusted the word of God. Or will you make the choice of the devil? As he calls us, as he's been calling us since the garden, to doubt the goodness of God and define our world for ourselves. These people in this story make a choice, and not to steal the thunder from next week's talk, but if you go down to verse 59, you can see what the choice they make. Remember, these are the people who were told in verse 31 are the disciples. What are they doing by verse 59? Picking up stones to kill him. Because the devil is their father, the father of lies, who's been a murderer from the beginning. Of all the musicians of the last century who haven't yet won a Nobel Prize for Literature, the greatest is probably Johnny Cash. But there was a point of great darkness in his life. Addiction and the pursuit of freedom led him into a deep slavery. At one point, he reached rock bottom and he decided to take his own life. Johnny Cash crawled into a massive cave complex in the mountains of Tennessee, hoping to lose himself in the darkness and die there. He kept crawling into these caves until his flashlight went out. He described that experience himself. He said the absolute lack of light was appropriate, for at that moment I was as far from God as I've ever been. My separation from him, the deepest and most ravaging of the various kinds of loneliness I'd felt over the years, seemed finally complete. When I thought I was as good as dead, I felt something very powerful happening to me, the sensation of utter peace, clarity and sobriety. There in Nickajack Cave, I became conscious of a very clear, simple idea. I was not in charge of my own destiny. I was going to die at God's time, not mine. And in the pitch black with his torch gone, Johnny Cash crawled on his hands and knees out in the total darkness to the light. When he got out, he said this: I was ready to commit myself to God and do whatever it took to get off drugs. I wasn't lying. Eventually, slowly, with relapses and setbacks, I gained my strength and my sanity and rebuilt my connection to God. 40 years later, on the very last song of his very last album, he sang this. I got rid of the shackles that bound me and the guards that always around me, but I'm free from the chain gang now. All the years I was known and respected until one day I was wrongly suspected. I was shackled in chains in a cold, freezing rain, but I'm free from the chain gang now. All the years I was known by a number, how I kept my mind is a wonder, but like a bird in a tree, I got my liberty, and I'm free from the chain gang now. See, in our post-truth world, we have to believe what Jesus tells us here, that following and obeying Jesus is actually perfect freedom. It's having the chains and shackles removed and living at liberty. Jesus' authority in his word doesn't oppress us, it doesn't crush us. It's for our good and for our benefit. It's freedom not just from, but freedom for. Freedom for God, freedom for others, freedom for service, freedom for love. This is the freedom that Jesus calls us to. Jesus says, if you obey my teaching, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do ask that as we hear your word tonight, you might help us to make a place for it. As we leave, write these words in our hearts. Enable us to live as free sons, as those who are now living in relationship with our Father, making the choice of Abraham to trust your word, to trust your word even in our darkness, even in despair. Even when we want to go the other way, when everything else is pulling us, when the world around us is dragging us away, help us to trust your word and to know that true freedom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.